Hey, hello everybody. Susan Baracco here. Welcome to the call. It's 1 o'clock, top of the hour, waiting for a few more people to join us, but I want to say hello to the folks who are here. Catherine, great to have you. Traber's here. Aura, we've got a few more folks joining us as we go. And if you would type in the chat and say hello, please let me know. Make sure you can hear me. Would appreciate that. And feel free to, hello, Catherine. Thank you. Feel free to answer our just for fun question today. I'm always interested in books. And I always find that sometimes there's a book in particular that's had a big impact on people in their lives. And it could be business or personal, but would love to hear about what kind of book. One title had the biggest impact on you so far in your life. Would love to hear that. So feel free to share in the chat. And Eric just joined us. Hey, Eric and Cynthia, welcome. Welcome, welcome. And I think it's Jeff, right? Is Kroller? Is that correct? I see it says Jay, and I'm not sure. I think it's Jeff. But say hello and let me know for sure in the chat that I have your first name correct. Hey, Eric. Thanks for joining. And I see someone has joined us. I bet that's Deb. By phone, I think that's Deb. Hopefully that is. Hello, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for jumping on. I've got a couple of people who've joined by phone, and I cannot see your names. I apologize for that, but hello and welcome. I'm glad you're here. And everybody's playing shy today. No one wants to share their favorite book or the one book that's had a big impact on you. Anybody want to step up and share that? I've had a couple of different books, and there's a few that I go back to and reread because they're just that good. A couple that I read recently that were just phenomenal. Is Atomic Habits. And I think Ed actually had the author of that book on his, podcast recently. Great, great book. If you haven't read it, it really could make some changes in the way you think. But I think one of my favorites is 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's just such a classic and such a timeless classic. I go back to it, even looking at considering how long ago it's Stephen Covey. What an impactful book. It's still the things that he talks about in that book are still true today, even though he wrote it quite some time ago. I don't remember how long ago, but I know it's been around a long time. So 7 Habits is probably my favorite. And Eric says a recent favorite of his, The Girl with All the Gifts, More Zombies Than Business. Good for you, but it's fun. Got to have some escape. At times, I find myself getting a little caught up in just trying to consume books about that I think will help me from a business perspective. And I don't think I do enough enjoyment reading like that. So good for you, Eric. All right. Well, welcome, everyone. And so those of you who have access and can type in the chat, I'd love to have you share a win. That's why we always start our calls. And if you would type in a capital W in the chat area and let me know what you're celebrating, big or small. I love to hear about the small ones. Can be just as much fun to share and to hear about too. So don't be shy. Don't be shy. This group is definitely a group that tends to be a little bit more cautious, I think, in sharing. So, but don't be shy. Any win is a good win and we want to celebrate with you. So. Catherine says, got your web copy done, putting it all on WordPress now. Yay, that's a major win. That's not small. Good for you, Catherine. That's a lot of work. Eric said you got a nibble and an invitation to pitch for a paid article on a new website, an online magazine. Congratulations. That's terrific. That's a big win too. It just feels good when someone's showing some interest. That's terrific. Cynthia says, I managed to join the coaching call today. That is a big win. Welcome and good for you. Sometimes it's hard to fit it in depending on if you're working. I know a lot of folks that come through this program have full-time jobs or even part-time jobs and can sometimes be challenging to fit it in, but glad you're here. Glad you're here. All right. Well, I'm going to move ahead to the next slide, and I'd love to hear about what material you're implementing. So same thing, type in a capital I, and let me know what you're implementing in the program right now. And it doesn't matter which session you're in. If you're just getting started, that's fine. If you've been at it a while, maybe you've gone through all the sessions, but maybe you're going back to a session that you feel you need to brush up on. Anything that you're working on right now through the program, I'd love to hear about that. And hopefully it's warm email prospecting and reaching out and making connections. For many of you in this program, at the B2B launcher level, it's really time to be honing that pitch, if you will, and how you talk about your business, how you talk about your value, and reaching out to lots of people. It's a slow process, and it takes time, and hopefully that's part of what you're working on right now. And hopefully you're using LinkedIn to do some of that. But let us know if there's anything else that you're using too that others might find helpful. All right. Wonderful. Eric said you haven't been implementing anything specifically from the program. That's fine, but you've been doing a lot of LinkedIn marketing. Good for you. LinkedIn is something that takes time to get to know. And so spending time out there and getting yourself, I've been finding that I think a lot of the things I've been putting out have been, I think I've been striking a chord with my audience. I've been finding I've been getting a lot of folks asking me to, inviting me to connect, and people that are potential prospects for me. So I'm encouraged by that. And I think it can definitely be a powerful tool. So good for you, Eric. All right. Well, I'm going to dive in. I'm going to jump right to the questions, the Q&A session. I actually had a couple of pre-submitted questions, so I'm going to just touch on those because I don't think, let me just see, I don't think any of the folks who submitted them are on the call today. So I want to touch on those first. But Cynthia, thanks for responding. You said you're refreshing memory on email and LinkedIn. Great. Good for you. And thanks for sharing that. So I am going to start with the questions that were submitted online prior. And I've got a couple people that two of the questions, one I'm actually took a look at, it's from Demetrius, and he asked for information. He said, if you can mention any examples of B to G copywriters, can you talk about the requirements or peculiarities of this aspect of copywriting? What I believe he was referring to is business to government, because I believe that's part of what he focuses on in his line of writing. And unfortunately, I have zero experience working with governments in the government environment. So I am not going to be able to speak to that. But Dimitri, if you listen to the recording, I am actually passing this along to Ed this question, and I am thinking that he'll be answering it for you in the Facebook group. So keep an eye out for that. I may post it for you, and I'll definitely give him a heads up that your question is out there, and ask him to address it for you. Right. And my second, hold on just a minute. So my second question was from Tim McKnight, and I don't believe that Tim is on the call. Take a quick look here. No, I don't believe so. Margo, I see you've joined us. Thanks. Oh, good. Because I was going to get to your question next. Glad you're here. Tim McKnight wrote in and asked, he has been actually posting about a person that kind of went radio silent on him. And he said, the person we talked about before had postponed our phone meeting. I acknowledged her message and then followed up to reschedule, but no reply as yet. How long should I wait before trying again? The tough part for me in answering this question is I don't have any idea how long it's been. I would say that counting from a business day's perspective, if I would follow up within 3 to 4 business days, maybe 5 at the most, and just kind of keep making that your regular touch again, and maybe alternate between emails and phone messages to see if you can pique her interest to respond. And I know Ed has some good information in the program. You may not be that far along in it, but towards the end of the program, Tim, there is, let me take a quick look. I think it might be session 8, where it's part of, let me see. Yeah, I think session 8 is more talking about the not yet ready clients. And I think he also talks a little bit about non-responders as well in that section. So if you're not quite there in the program, you may not have seen it, but if you've been through it, I would recommend go back and check on session 8. And if you, Tim, also are listening to this by recording, please post this in the Facebook group. If you have not already, make sure you post it in the Q&A thread so that Ed will see it there as well. And he and I can maybe address it a little more clearly there once we get a little more detail from you. But thanks for both of you for submitting. I'm going to move on to Margo, who is here, and she pre-submitted a question. And this is a great question, so I'm going to read it first, and then Margo, I'll bring you on, and we'll have a bit of a discussion about this. Margo was wondering how to incorporate her executive interview experience as one of her advantages in her positioning, and also possibly as a related service. By executive interview, I mean conducting interviews with B2B executives on behalf of a market research and consulting firm. I've done well over 1,500 of these, which is pretty amazing, with some pretty senior people. In fact, I wish I could interview the target customers of every writing client I get, because the insights from those kinds of interviews are invaluable. I agree 100% in crafting messages and writing copy. It's very, very true. And I don't think that our clients fully understand the value of that. So I agree with you, Margo. At the same time, I wonder if my interviewing experience won't be meaningful to someone who's looking for just a writer. How can I finesse this? And do I need to stick to just offering only writing services? How can I give potential clients the option of having me interview customers or target customers in addition to doing writing? Awesome. This is a great question. So let me just see. Margo, I am unmuting you now. Hello there.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for sticking with that whole long question there.
It's great background. No, it's important to understand. I do want you to just tell me a little bit about the people that you're targeting. What's your target market, or what kind of, I want to understand the market that you've chosen to focus on.
Sure. So by way of background, the first part of my career for over 15 years was in product marketing in tech companies.
Okay.
And I did some writing there. So I think tech is just an obvious one for me.
Okay.
The interviewing, and part of the reason I got into the interviewing was I just got so frustrated with these engineering-driven companies, and all they wanted was either for me to talk about the technology or to just write fluff about how great they were.
Yeah.
And I kind of got burnt out on that. And so for the past number of years, I've been working with this consulting firm that consults primarily, well, they consult to professional services organizations. Most of their clients are law firms. And we interview the client's clients to bring back the feedback. So I have these sort of two pieces of my career. I am not sure I want to go into legal. I'm sort of toying with it in the back of my head.
Mm.
So that's what I'm thinking.
I think it's a definitely an option, especially if you are feeling a little burned out on the tech sector side. I can certainly understand that. The only question I would have in regards to shifting towards legal is there a demand for that? You know, that would be my question.
I don't know the demand. I do know that I've also interviewed a lot of law firm CMOs. Oh. And they're, yeah, and so I see what they have to deal with also. So, you know, and I'm still doing the interviewing, right? I'm trying to piece together different revenue streams for myself. And so it could be a little awkward if I were to prospect to the same people that this company I work for is prospecting to.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely a good thing to keep in mind. You want to be really careful, especially if you're, if you have a good working relationship.
Yeah.
I think both Ed and I feel strongly about transparency in regards to this kind of topic. So if you are serious about heading in that direction, it'd be worth just, setting up time to talk with your current client and say, hey, I'm kicking this idea around. Not sure if I'm going to go in this direction. What would you be comfortable with or not comfortable with if I were to, you know, to do this? If I, you know, I would go to them and say, look, I'm thinking about offering X, Y, and Z to the legal industry. How do you feel about that? Is that something you'd be okay with or not?
Well, that's a really important point. And I think since now, right at the moment, they can use me full time, this is probably not the juncture to have that conversation.
No, definitely.
But
not.
when they tell me, which will most likely inevitably happen, we don't need you right now. You know, wait a week or two and then have that conversation, because
absolutely,
what are they expecting you to do?
Absolutely.
So that's my thought.
Good thinking. But I want to step back to using your interview skills and your experience in the writing that you're doing. And I personally, I find it powerful. It's really, really powerful to have this experience, especially where you've got such broad experience. In terms of like over 1500 of these types of interviews, that's pretty rock solid experience. I would look at it as, you know, it's part of the marketing. Anyone who knows marketing, even a little bit, understands that you've got to know your customer. You've got to know your audience, right? You've got to know your audience inside and out. And one of the best ways to get to know them is to interview them. And I think that using that, incorporating that into your writing process in some way, figure out ways to incorporate it, would be an incredibly powerful differentiator for you. So not only do you have this skill, but you can go out and get information, especially, so give me your top three best clients and let me go talk to them. Let me talk for 15 minutes. I mean, you well know how you can get a lot of important information in a very short phone call. It can be brief and you can really cut to the chase and get a lot of great information. So with well-designed questions. So I would be thinking about how do I work this into my process, and then start talking about that on your website, because that is something maybe in a blog format or something like that, maybe on your services page, is that here's a value add type of a part to my process that maybe other writers can't offer quite the same way that you can. And so if you are looking at, certainly with things like white papers and case studies, obviously you're going to be interviewing, that just gives you, and I don't know if that's part of what you offer, but to me, your interview skills and your experience would be incredibly valuable for white papers and case studies. Is that what you're doing? Is that part of what you offer, or do you offer something different?
So I've done. I mean, I'm sort of a. I wasn't sure which course to sign up for here, because on the one hand, I do have some experience, but I don't have it as a freelancer, and I think that for me was why I'm here. I'm a newbie, but I have written white papers and I've written case studies.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
marketing collateral. So I'm just trying to figure out how to do it in the format of a freelancer who has to market myself, promote myself, position myself. So that's the stuff that I'm wrestling with right now. You know, I'm a writer, but I'm not just a writer.
Right.
And I don't write fluff.
Right. But if
I really have a hard time with fluff.
Are you targeting slightly larger companies? Are you targeting smaller companies?
I have not actually gotten to that point of targeting and outreaching. I don't even have the website yet.
Okay.
I think there are there are advantages to each, and I've worked for each. I tend to like smaller companies better because you don't get involved in so much politics and bureaucracy. Yeah. But I think
and layers.
But I think that larger companies are more likely to be able to afford me. So
afford you. And you know what, the reason for my question was more, I'm thinking more from a sophistication level. So a marketer, a marketing manager or director of a smaller company may not have as much experience, you just don't know. I mean, that's a question that I ask a lot of times. And for those of you who have submitted web copy, I talk about that a lot, is just understanding the sophistication level of your visitor, the person who's going to be looking at your website. Because I think your interview skills are going to be very valuable to a certain level of marketer. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to take a look at that and say, wow, this woman can really, you know, she's perfect for this project we're going for. It's the voice of the customer. You know, figuring out a way to spin that on, to talk about, to help them really understand the voice of their own customer, and maybe in a way that they A, don't have time to do, or B, just don't know how to go after. So I think, you know, blending that in, and like I said, make it a part of your process in terms of your website and your web copy, is here's my writing process, and break it down so that they can read it and see how you incorporate interviewing as a part of your, start to finish writing process, because I think that's going to be a really important thing for you. And you don't have to, this isn't pages and pages of content I'm talking about here, is, right. You know, I'm talking about what are the first things, and it might be, you know, your first step might be strategy meeting to fully understand your needs. Step two might be, you know, and fully understand your needs, but also, you know, what results you want. And then step two is me going out and gathering the information, such as interviewing a handful of your clients, so that we get the real story. And I would really emphasize that, because I think the tech companies tend to get, I don't know if you've heard the term navel gazing, where they tend to, you know, they're looking at their own belly buttons and really admiring them and spending a lot of time doing that. And I think tech companies in particular tend to do that a lot. So I can emphasize. But, you know, a more sophisticated marketer is going to read that and go, you know what? She's right. That's exactly what we need to be doing. We do need to get the voice of the customer integrated into our marketing. That's exactly what, because then they're going to, the new customers are going to, that's going to resonate with them. So I would think about, and this is something for anyone on the phone really who's listening, who might have a unique angle or point of experience is how do I bring that in and integrate that into my personal process? And it's okay to have your own personal process because that is a differentiator. And for you, Margot, I think this is a powerful one. I really, really mm-hmm. do. And I think you ought to start playing with that. The other thing is to be thinking about, you know, what are the different ways that I could talk about it? What are the things that I got the most out of? Like you even said in your question about, you know, it's invaluable in crafting messages and copywriting. Tell us about that. Tell us about that on your website. I want to hear about that. Why do you think it's invaluable? What have you seen in your experience that makes you so convicted about that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is invaluable. And here's why. And start thinking about how you would then blend that into your own writing process so that when you're serving your customer, they get to benefit from that experience and it's going to make a difference for them versus any other writer out there who might not have. So don't, I want to just caution you about thinking, oh, I'm just a writer. You use that term and you put it in quotes. You're not just a writer. You're a consultant and a strategist and you also write. So you're bringing all this experience and knowledge to your client, not just your writing skills.
Thank you for that. I think that in the world of networking, online networking groups and courses and forums for freelance writers,
mm-hmm.
I hear so much about writing and samples and clips. and that's all well and good, and that's part of it.
But I don't
as often hear people talking about being a strategist and having other adjacent skills and all this. So,
oh yeah. And that's why I'm saying, so you jump into one of the,
am I right in my perceptions?
Absolutely. 100%.
So I was thinking, oh my gosh, maybe how do I do this? Because I'm for better or for worse, hopefully for better. I'm the purple cow maybe.
Exactly. Exactly so. I think Ed and I both feel the same way about this, is that there are thousands of writers out there. Thousands. You've got to figure out what in your background and what in your skill set and your tool bag do you bring that, you know, maybe one or two others bring. And that really does make you that purple cow or purple squirrel or whatever. I've heard a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about. You're absolutely right. Because you go into these forums or these groups and they all have typewriter shaped heads is what I'll call it. And I used to be in the telecom industry and we used to call them bell shaped heads because they only could think in one way. They only mm-hmm. saw themselves in one way. They only saw the industry in one way because they had a bell shaped head. And in this case, you have a typewriter or keyboard shaped head. I'm a writer. I'm only a writer. Yeah. No, you're not. No, you bring, oh my goodness. You know, if I start thinking about my own personal background, I was in sales for the first 15 or so years of my career. Yeah, a good 15 years. And then I got into other things. I got into, I owned a couple of businesses. And, my path was kind of very squiggly looking. But I've had a lot of experience. I bring all of that with me to my writing. All of that makes a difference in my writing. So I really would encourage you and anyone else on the phone who's thinking about and working on their copy, on their web copy, even if you've already done your website, by the way, and your web copy, I also say this in my reviews, is you're going to tweak it many times over. So go back and think about tweaking it. If you've heard something in this today that resonates and that helps you to differentiate yourself, then go for it. And this, Margot, for you, oh my goodness, I think this is a very powerful differentiator. And use it, leverage it.
Well, thank you. Not only do I appreciate the advice, but I feel like I'm understood here.
That's what we're all about. So, yeah.
I've had everything from the typewriter heads and the writer forums to an executive years ago once saw me walking into the office and said, oh, are you going to write some fluff today? And so to be understood as what I think I am is really great. And so I feel like I'm in the right place here. So
great.
Thank you.
Great. You're very welcome. I hope that was helpful.
I guess what, in terms of next steps for me, mm-hmm. Is there only one web copy review? I mean, should I wait until it's really refined?
Yes. Yeah, that would be the best. We typically only do one round. If you end up going into one of Ed's other programs, once you're done with B2B Launcher, you get additional support on that. But in this program, we usually just ask you to submit once.
Okay. And if I have specific questions leading up to that, I suppose I can post them in the forum?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's the best place, is to get our attention and keep us on our toes. So feel free.
One more technical thing. Sure. I was one of the people who was on the phone. And what I realized as you started to look at the submitted questions was you couldn't tell who was on the phone.
No, so, I couldn't. No.
Yeah. And nope. I joined this way. So good to know for the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you have to dial in by phone, there's one woman that's been a part of this group for a bit, and I happen to know she lives one state over from me, and I recognize the zip code, the area code. That's the only reason I knew. I'm pretty sure it was her. But yeah, definitely. If you can be online, you can interact a little more easily and see what's going on. So
I will listen to the rest of this in the recording, because I actually have to get back to my day job.
Absolutely. Well, good luck, and keep us posted in the Facebook group. All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Awesome. Great question. And I hope that was helpful. You know, it's interesting because we tend to, I don't want you to think linear. I want you to think broad in terms of what you bring to the table, especially if you're working on your positioning and your web copy. It's important to keep those, you know, keep an open mind, keep it this really, really broad, and think about how does all of this matter? How does all of the experience, my years of experience that I bring with me, you got a lot of stuff packed in your suitcase, most likely, that you carry around with you in terms of experience, and you want to figure out how can I, some of it is going to contribute to you as a writer and your skill as a writer. Some of it may not. But anything that you can use, you should, most definitely. All right. Well, that was my last pre-submitted question. And I just want to take a look. Let me see. So if you have a question for me, I would love to have you type in Q and then let me hear what you're struggling with right now. Maybe what you need some feedback on, anything at all that I can help you with. Please type a Q in the chat. And share it with me. And I think, you know, I appreciate Margo putting that question in, because I do look at websites a lot. I do a lot of the website reviews, and I'm constantly seeing people just, I'm always amazed when I read over someone's web copy and the landing page says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so and I can help you." And then I get to the, maybe the why me page, or maybe a couple pages back to about me or something like that. And I see all this amazing background, like, oh, well, I've done this. I have an MBA, and I have, you know, I've done all this writing, or I've, you know, been a journalist. And I think, wow, I don't see this until several pages back in the content. That's not okay. Let people know about you. Let people know what you can do. Sooner the better, especially on the website. So Eric, thank you so much for submitting a question on your LinkedIn efforts. Are you posting things related to your niche? And what is your niche? And about the business of freelance writing. All right. And Eric, I'm going to bring you on in 1 second. Let me see. All right, now we're getting some questions. Good, good, good. Keep them coming. Eric, I'm going to unmute you because I do want to chat about this. Hello there. Eric, can you hear me? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Okay.
I was just switching to headphones so you don't get feedback.
No problem. Hello there.
Hi.
All right, so you're asking about what to post? on LinkedIn? I know it says about the business of freelance writing.
Right. What I've been reading a lot of is reading about freelance writing, but what I'm aiming to write about is more science and technology related.
Absolutely.
So really my question is, which of those would you recommend I be posting about?
I think that it's combining technology, which is your focus, or science, which is your focus, and writing together. So what we were just talking about, actually, with Margot. So one of the things that she struggles with in tech, and science may or may not be the same. I don't think it's quite the same. I think science is a little bit different, is they want fluff. They want articles or information that, you know, just makes them feel good, or that what they think makes them look good out in the world. So typically when you're writing something on for LinkedIn or for your own blog, and I wouldn't at this point too, by the way, because all of you are really new, I wouldn't recommend that you take too much time doing writing blog posts right now. I think, you know, I just wouldn't want you to take too much time away from your prospecting to be doing that. But if it's something that makes sense and you can fit it in, I think it's fine. For you, Eric, I would probably recommend that you blend science and writing in a way. So for example, what have you seen science struggle with when it comes to writing? So what are the top three mistakes that they make, or what are the top five things that that you see that you wish they would stop doing? you know, when you read something out there, whether it's a website, whether it's a white paper, what are they doing from a writing perspective that we feel that those of us in the know as writers would say, that's a no-no. And start really showing your perspective and helping to educate, you know, maybe having an opinion or a perspective about the way that they write for themselves right now that you think could be greatly improved. That would be a simple thing, I think, for you to tackle and showcase your personal perspective as well as your philosophy and your ability. Does that make sense? I mean, do you see what I'm...
That does make sense. And that ties into a thing I've done. I've written so far, had two things published that have to do with science or technology, and in both of those I've been bringing it down to accessible level.
Yes.
And one of them I was summarizing an academic paper, so I have the paper with all the jargon and technical terms and intricate sentences.
Got it.
And then turned that into
Wonderful, yeah, that's a wonderful topic right there. It's just being able to say, let's break this down for the average bear, you know, the layperson, if you will, who is going to be reading this so that it makes sense to them. And that, I think, is a classic issue with technical companies or scientific companies. They tend to write the way they speak, and not always a good thing for the rest of the world who's trying to follow along. So yeah, I would head in that direction. I would really think about how can I overlap that? How can I show, say, it's because what you're trying to demonstrate is that you understand the industry, and for you, it's science, and that you also understand how to write or market or whatever it is, so that you know, that you understand speaking to your audience or whatever the topic might be, but you want to kind of overlap those two things and showcase both of those in whatever you're sharing. And even if it's someone else's article that you're sharing and then you make comments on, that's a powerful way to do it as well. Saying, hey, I agree with this author, or I agree, but I'd add this and that as well, these additional thoughts, that kind of thing. Does that help?
That does help, yeah. One recommendation I had that a person did, I forget where I got this, was one or two original articles a week. And then every day a comment on some article. So the less work intensive for the daily posts, but then putting out more involved things. I would maybe do it once a week at most.
I think that makes sense for someone who has their business somewhat established. I'd be really careful about putting that much time into something like this up front.
Maybe just a few posts a week then.
Yeah, I'd be really careful about that. I mean, you want to be on LinkedIn commenting on other people's posts, liking, sharing, that kind of thing. But I'd be just, what I would be hesitant, and I say this for you as well as for everyone else listening today, is that we don't want to get caught off focusing on the wrong thing. Like, if you don't have any clients right now, I think you, what I'd rather see you do, and I know Ed would agree with me, is spending the time making connections, reaching out, warm email prospecting. Those are the things that, that's where you're at, where all of your time and effort and focus should be. If you don't have any clients, if you don't have any paying clients, you need, that's where you really need to, because you're not going to be able to sustain that for long. And if you're spending too much time writing for yourself, you know, for your own needs, that's, you know, where I just don't want you to put your focus and energy in the wrong place. So just be mindful of that. I mean, if it's something that you personally, Eric, can manage, then go for it. But make sure that you set a goal each week of a certain amount of time where you're prospecting, and don't let that slide so that you can write. I'd rather you put more focus on the prospecting.
Got it.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Awesome. Good question. That's a typical, a common question. People often think, geez, I need to be spending more time on social media. Just something to be careful about. You know, it's a matter of spending some time, but not all your time, especially right now where you're just getting off the ground. Catherine had a question about the website. Is it possible to merge the About and Why Me page into one? Is it possible for this to be effective? So yes, I'm just going to answer this for you, Catherine, and yes, you can. It depends on your audience. Why Me, what I usually look at in regards to the website is the Why Me page is kind of a sales page, and it's a page where you're continuing to convince your visitor that they should care. They're still trying to figure out whether or not they're in the right place when they're looking at your website. If they've gotten to the Why Me page, this really needs to be all about them. And so you can easily merge your About and your Why Me. What you want to do is, as I explain in my web reviews, is that the Why Me should be, I have this experience and here's how you benefit, Mr. Prospect. I have this education and here's how you benefit. So you can talk about yourself, but you always want to connect the dots to how that's going to benefit them. If they are going to write you a check and give you money to work with them, this is why you should care about what I'm saying. This is why you should care about my background, is because this is how it's going to benefit you. And always tie that together. And so the answer is yes. You can definitely have your About and Why Me page be one. And you can, or you can have it separate. It really depends on if you want to tell more of a story. Sometimes I've seen some people with their websites where the About is really more story-like in terms of what their life experience has been, or their work experience. For some people, I've seen that with some folks who have maybe traveled extensively. They want to talk about the different places in the world they've been to and how that impacted them, which may or may not have a direct impact on their writing. So, you know, it really depends on what your background is about. But so the bottom line answer, Catherine, is yes, you can merge the two and have them be effective. It's very, very possible, and have it be effective. So it really depends on how extensive your background is and how you want to showcase that, but showcasing it in a way that means benefit for your prospect always. I hope that answers your question. I hope that helps. Karen says, do freelance writers traditionally look for their positions? Do they write and pitch their writing projects? All right, Karen, let me see. You are here. I'm just going to unmute you real quick. Hello there, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How you doing?
Good.
So help me understand, traditionally look for positions. I'm not quite sure what you, I'm just not clear on that. Or do they write and pitch their writing projects? Is this positions as in someone who, to, you know, to come onto a team? Is that what you mean by that? I wasn't quite clear.
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing two different things right now. Like, I'm writing on topics, and I think I mentioned this last week, or our last call.
Okay.
I'm writing on things that interest me, and I'm thinking about pitching those in different industries, you know, to different magazines, online businesses, that kind of thing.
Yes.
But then in all the courses and programs I'm taking, there the push is really to establish your expertise as a writer and get that professional persona created. So it's really about, you know, getting your resume and your website up and things finessed just right. So, and then going on to job boards and seeking out positions within, you know, different types of freelance writing positions within certain industries or businesses. And so I feel kind of like I'm doing two different things.
Gotcha.
Okay. And I'm just wondering, am I like an alien? Like, should I not be writing this stuff? I mean, because it feels a little bit luxurious and kind of arrogant to assume that I'm writing all this great stuff, and I'm just so sure that people are going to want to buy it and read it, you know?
I do. I understand. I think it's a matter of, you know, there's two different things going on here in your question. So, I think at the beginning, looking at the job boards, looking at these different places where you can go and, you know, pitch your wares, so to speak, and that's an option for you, but that is just to get you off the ground. I don't see that as a long-term solution, mm-hmm. and here's why. It's because those types of things are either going to not pay well or they're not going to pay well, either one of the two. I think long-term, it's not a great solution. I think short-term, to help get your momentum, maybe get you some experience, maybe get you some samples, that kind of thing, and you can start building your portfolio, go for it. But I wouldn't use that as that's not a stopping point, it's a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So don't think of that. I wouldn't build your persona, if you will, around trying to get those kinds of positions. That's not, I would rather see you and everybody here looking at the bigger, slightly bigger picture of, okay, where I really want to be is quite literally freelancing for multiple different larger organizations maybe. And that's really where you want to go. So writing and pitching is probably more where you're going to spend your time. And mm-hmm. it's a matter of getting comfortable mm-hmm. with that idea. And there's probably, you know, there's a couple different ways to do that, but I think pitching for, especially for magazines, I've seen a few people come through these programs who have experience writing for publications, and it's very impressive. If you're being mm-hmm. hired by a publication, that gives you a lot of credibility.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about that. So even if you've got one under your belt, I think that would be more valuable. Where you probably want to spend your time focusing. Is that writing, pitching, connecting to the right people, doing more projects like that? Because then you're going to get bigger projects, and you're going to also get more variety. I think you're going to have an opportunity to just bigger projects, bigger money, you know, really just in the long run. So step one would be, you know, hitting those job boards to get yourself some momentum. But then step two would be to really look, you know, okay, how do I progress to that next level?
So a question kind of related to this. So when on one forum, people are starting to post different opportunities that are coming up, and one of them came up for ghostwriting some books, and they're small book projects, but suddenly I found myself interested, and I hadn't really thought about it, but I'm in the process of writing a book. So
yeah, good for you.
So it's right up. Well, we'll see. but it's kind of that shiny object syndrome. So here I am working on, you know, researching an industry to get these articles I've already written published. And then, you know, I'm taking this course, and I'm working on, you know, my portfolio, so to speak. And then this opportunity comes up. And so it's related in one way, but in another way, it's completely separate. Like,
yes,
like becoming a ghostwriter is like a separate almost identity and kind of job, you know, or position in that way. And so, so I find it a little, like, there's so many options. It's a little confusing.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, it's interesting. I started out much the way you did. I, you know, got into this and really dove into the whole copywriting. I was looking at direct response copy. I, you know, took the class on that. And just as I went through this stuff, I started to realize, because I have a tendency towards the shiny object thing too. It's just a natural thing. And I think for me personally, I definitely get distracted easily. But I really didn't like it. When I started getting into like direct response, I was like, yeah, this is not for me, you know? And it didn't take me long to figure that out. I was just not getting any, it just didn't interest me. It did not hold my interest. And even, I started getting into copywriting. I actually really enjoyed writing copy for marketing. I found that, doing the writing for marketing pieces, I was having fun with that. That was something I was enjoying. But then as I got deeper into that, I realized, okay, I'm not sure this is 100% where I'm at. And now I'm a ghostwriter, editor, and book coach. So I've made that transition. And I think it's just a matter of trying to figure out, at what point do you start to pivot? And for those folks in the B2B Launcher program, I would strongly recommend that you not pivot. It's not something that understand and keep in the back of your mind that you've got that option to do so. But depending on how deep you are into this program, I would wade into the water as opposed to jumping in. I would really, especially for you, Karen, I think it's just a matter of kind of exploring this a little bit. And I've taken lots of different kinds of projects. Even though I said I'm doing this kind of writing, I would take other kinds of projects to try them. If I knew I could do it and I knew I would be able to do an excellent job for the client, then I'd take the project, even though it doesn't show that on my website that I do that. It doesn't matter. Take the project and play with it. See how it goes. So I would not discourage you from taking projects outside of what you thought you would be doing. I would encourage you to do that. But also, just be careful. I applaud you for being aware of the shiny object syndrome. I think that's common, but to just take that slowly, really explore it thoroughly before you say, yeah, I'm jumping ship and going in a completely different direction. Right now, this program in particular is all about you folks getting momentum, getting your business, go and get a first client, get some momentum in your business, start to feel, gain some confidence. This is a time for you to be building confidence in your own ability, as well as the fact that, hey, I can make money doing this. I can actually earn money as a writer. And I think that's the biggest hurdle I see for folks oftentimes in this program is just, is this even going to work? Like, I'm not even sure. You kind of have one foot on both sides of the fence and you're saying, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make money doing this. And so that, our goal in this program is to help you to get there. It's like, okay, let's get you that first client. Let's get you started, get you some momentum. Do you have a paying client at this point or do you not?
I don't. I haven't reached out to anybody. Okay. Last week we talked about research and...
Right.
I'm a little stuck in the mindset right now that I need to get everything perfect to get going. And I know I know I'm not supposed to do that.
No.
Yes.
Trying to get unstuck. Well, don't get stuck. But like I said, don't hesitate to take projects. I wrote some pretty crazy things in the beginning of that I never thought I would be writing, things that I was doing. I'm like, whoa. I just was really surprised. I put together an entire presentation for a woman. I helped her write. I actually designed the slide deck, designed her speaker's notes, wrote all of that, and then helped her with workbook and handouts for the course she was teaching. And nothing to do with marketing and nothing to do with copywriting. It was just, that's what she needed. And it was a great project. I learned a lot and I had experience with it. I didn't see myself doing that, but it ended up in my lap and I ran with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something you got to kind of keep an open mind a little bit, but don't let it throw you completely off course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Hopefully that helps.
It does. I mean, it's worth looking at, people mock the shiny objects, but if you're talking about $2,500 for one ghostwriting project, over like a 3-month period, strategically from time and energy, from that perspective, that's a pretty smart
sure.
project to take on.
I agree.
I feel like it's at least worth, you know, investigating, exploring.
Absolutely. And learning a lot about it. And before you take a project like that, definitely you want to do your homework in terms of, especially if you're new to it like you are, make sure that you're not being underpriced, because a ghostwriting project, from my experience, can be pretty time intensive, and you just want to make sure that you're being paid appropriately. So that would be my only little extra tidbit of advice for you, is just do some homework and ask around, and certainly feel free to, you know, to post in the Facebook group, or you know, I'm happy to share my insight on that as if you decide to go in that direction. But just yeah, you want to just make sure you're being compensated fairly for that, because it is a fair amount of work regardless of the size of the book.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it sounds really wonderful in one way, like it's just one project as opposed to a whole bunch of other things, but at the same time it's like, holy cow, that's like a book.
Yeah, it's like,
I can't even get my own book written. How am I
somebody else's? But sometimes that's the push. Sometimes that push is like, oh, okay, I can do this, so I can do it. So now I'm going to go do it, right? just the push you might need. So, all right, well, Karen, good luck. Definitely keep us posted. I'd love to hear how that goes for you and what you end up deciding.
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care. Great question. Always an interesting time when you're first getting your business off the ground is trying to make these kinds of choices. It's, you know, what do I take? And this is, we started out the conversation by talking about thinking in a linear fashion. And we started talking about that typewriter shaped head, and she's Emily, a writer. And to have a slightly broader perspective of things is, especially when you're just getting started, like for Karen, that might turn into something like, wow, I think this is really what I want to do. I think I really like this, and I might want to go in this direction instead. And there's nothing wrong with, like I said, heading in that direction. But for the most part, I just would caution you all to just take it slow, and definitely post in the Facebook group, come back to this call if you need to talk about it, and let us help you sort through those kinds of things. And if you definitely want feedback from Ed, go ahead and post in the Q&A thread, and I'll make sure that that he has a chance to see what you're thinking, and he can contribute his thoughts as well, because this is important stuff. It's really good to, like I said, keep an open mind. I really want you all to keep an open mind to what kinds of projects you might take and try. This is a experimentation. Some of you might have the luxury of knowing, you know what, I want to write white papers. I love doing that, and that's what I want to do. Some people might say, I've never written a white paper, so I don't even know if I'm going to like it. So that's why I'm saying, you know, open your mind to trying some different things, unless you've already got the experience and you know, that's not for me. And that's not where your forte is. It's not where your strong points are. So lots to think about, but great question. Great, great question. All right. So any other questions? Please type a Q in the chat if anybody else has something they want to chat about. I'm going to advance the slide simply because I want to hear about what's been most valuable to you in the discussion we've had today. Type in a capital V in the chat and let me know if there's anything that stood out in the conversation, the questions, the interaction we've had. That might be important and helpful for you. It's great feedback for me. And it's great feedback for everybody actually on the call. So Eric says, the reminder to stay focused on prospecting. Absolutely. Thanks for picking up on that, Eric. Critical time in the development of your businesses and in your work is to get that first client. Right now is the focus. That's what this program is all about, is getting that first client, that first paying client, so that you gain the momentum and the confidence to move forward and to continue on. Couldn't be more important. I think 80-20. Use the 80-20 rule. Prospect 80% of the time that you have available to work on your business. If you're working full-time at a day job, then you definitely want to be spending most of your time prospecting as much as possible and really limit the amount of time you spend on other things. All right. And I'm still open to taking questions. So if you've come up with one, feel free to do that. Karen says, take it slow and not pivoting when starting out. Not right away. Not right away. It's okay to do it at some point, but we really want you to, and I know Karen, you're still fairly early on in the program. Would love to have you finish out the program with the focus that you've determined in your positioning. Go through, finish that, and see where that takes you. But in the meantime, be open to other projects. All right. All right. And any other takeaways? What's been valuable or takeaways? Type a T in the chat if there's anything that you listened to and you thought, you know what, I'm going to go and implement this. I think I'm going to use that in my strategy or that kind of thing. And Eric says, shiny object syndrome is real. Oh, my goodness. Oh, especially in the beginning. I can tell you from my own personal experience that in the beginning of starting my writing business, the moment that I felt like I wasn't getting any momentum, I was looking somewhere else. I was like, oh, I think I'm going to try this now. And oh, I think I'm going to go in this direction. And I just felt that way often, especially if I got rejected. And this is something that is the hardest part is maybe I've sent out a whole bunch of emails. Nobody responded. Maybe I made some phone calls or I met and just no one was responding to me. That's the time when you're most vulnerable to shiny object syndrome, where you're just thinking, okay, I got to switch it up. I got to try something else because this isn't working. And it's hard to be patient. So, and for me, I also happen to be ADHD. So shiny object syndrome is deadly, very dangerous. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of mindfulness to remind yourself, nope, stay in focus, moving forward day at a time and just keep moving. So yeah, thanks for saying that, Eric, because I agree. I agree. Shiny object syndrome is very real. And especially in the world of, small business, if you're looking to, especially like in writing or marketing, there's lots of different shiny objects out there that could make us think we could do better by making a change somewhere. And early on, I wouldn't recommend that. Wouldn't recommend it. Complete this program before you make any major changes. And then talk to us about it and let us help. All right. And action items, anything that you're going to be working on in the next week or so. Today is Thursday, so maybe next week we're going to be, that is actually, almost the middle of May. We're going to be in the middle of May by next Wednesday. So what action items are you going to be taking in May, in the next week or two? Eric says, prospecting and nurturing leads. Yay. Yay. Star pupil. Absolutely, Eric. Prospecting. And pitching and writing that paid article. There you go. Absolutely. Any other action items people want to share, anything that they're thinking about, whether we talked about it today in one of these questions or not, anything that you're thinking about? And Cynthia says, regaining momentum. Absolutely. Don't discount momentum. Oh my goodness. In the early stages of starting a business like this, starting a freelance practice, momentum means everything. really does, can really help to propel you forward. I know for me personally, I always felt like if I got my prospecting done and had a couple of key things that I wanted to do every day, that I felt like I was making progress, that was momentum, even though I may not have gotten a client yet, that I was taking the steps to get a client, for me, I'd looked at as momentum. Catherine says, submitting a website for review. Yay. Good for you. Absolutely. Remember, it doesn't have to be perfect. When we review it, it's with the intention of giving you some things to edit. So definitely submit your website and move forward. That's a big, big step. It's a lot of work. And Karen says, still working on researching industry stuff and your website. Good for you. Good for you. So any other questions? I'll just leave it just a little after two. And if anyone has a question they want to sneak in, if not, then we'll, but we have time. If anyone else has I'll give you just a minute or two here to think about that. But I appreciate all of you taking time to be here out of your day. I appreciate you interacting. These calls are always important, whether you're pre-submitting a question if you're not going to be here, or whether you ask a question live and I bring you on and we have a chance to talk. It helps. It's valuable for you. It's valuable for everyone who listens to the call. So definitely want to encourage you to take advantage of this feature, this part of the program. All right. Well, I don't see any additional questions or any other comments being added to the chat. So with that, I think I will wrap up the call. Thank you again for all being here. This call will be posted, I believe, by tomorrow, the recording. So keep an eye out for that if you want to listen again or if you weren't able to make it to the live call. But thank you again. You guys have a terrific weekend and look forward to seeing you on the next call and in the Facebook group. Have a great rest of the week.